Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Have the latest Cowboys news coming up here for you in 20 minutes. Joining us now, Giants beat writer Pat Leonard, New York Daily News, host of the Talkin' Ball podcast on YouTube. And a good afternoon, Pat. Thanks for joining us here on the Home of the Cowboys. How are you?
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is terrific to have you here just a few days before the game. Are you disappointed we aren't seeing Jackson Dart already?
Yes, I am. I think the Giants' offense would look better with Dart in. I'm not saying he would fix everything, but I think if you look at, let's say, the Minnesota Vikings with J.J. McCarthy and the way that that can inject some life into a team, into a franchise, I think Dart has the ability and the moxie to do that. And I think the Giants are playing with fire, with maybe losing their season before he enters if they continue to wait with Russell Wilson in a starter.
Do you think we could see him at halftime of as early as this game?
Yes, I do. I know Brian Daboll has full confidence in Dart. He wouldn't have him as the number two dressed on game day ahead of Jameis Winston if he didn't. And I honestly believe that his mobility, his toughness, and for a young quarterback, it's rare to see this, but he does keep his eyes down the field even when the pocket starts collapsing. Like, he can get out and run, but he's not just going to bail and abandon the play. Like, he does have an arm, and he's going to stand in there and take a hit to make a play. So, you know, I think that there's a chance that we do see him in this game if Wilson has a similar first half that they did against the Commanders.
We were just going through and discussing that Giants offensive line, and man, they have spent some resources trying to finally figure that out. I mean, how's this 2025 version looking?
It's a lot of the same, which is a bad thing for the Giants. Andrew Thomas, their franchise left tackle, doesn't look like he's going to play again in this game. That's not definite. It just seems like it's trending in that direction. Now, he sat out the first game. He sat out yesterday's practice, padded practice. He was on the field today, working and doing some team reps, so there is a chance. But it doesn't appear he will make his season debut. We wait and see on that. But even if he does replace James Hudson in the lineup at left tackle, the interior has really struggled. Jermaine Illuminor, their right tackle, has been imperfect as well. Really, they're just running back the offensive line for the most part from one of the league's worst offenses last year. And I think the biggest concern would be the Cowboys' D-line, you know, held their own against one of the better offensive lines in the league last week. The Giants' offensive line, though, they couldn't even handle a Commanders' defensive line that doesn't have a star on it. They don't have a player that commands a double team. So that's concerning going into this game for the Giants.
What's the status of Malik Nabers right now? Is he frustrated? What's the deal?
He definitely got a talking to after that game because he came out yesterday and was all smiles, was joking about his behavior, and he did acknowledge he has to show his frustration in a better way, to be more constructive, to be more one-on-one rather than yelling on the sideline, things like that. But he's fiery. The problem is Daboll has given him carte blanche as a 22-year-old rather than it being very structured. Neighbors can kind of just do whatever he wants, and they put all that trust in him. That's good if things are going well, but when things are going poorly – and then you need to apply more structure and be more strict as a coach with that player, it's kind of hard to put it back in the box, you know? So he declined to answer a question about the Giants' futility over the years against the Cowboys. So even though he put on a smiling face, by the end of it, kind of that sour taste of how bad the Giants have been, you could see that kind of come back across his face.
Hey, Pat, taking a look at the Giants' tape against the Commanders, it appeared they were trying to do things to get Carter, Thibodeau, and Burns on the field all at the same time. Is this something that we're going to maybe see more of, or is this something that they're just kind of still trying to find some combinations within their defensive line?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so they were on the field 9 times together in the first game. The drawback of it for the Giants is that you become a much lighter defense if they're all 3 of those guys are on the D line and on the front. So it's easier to run the ball against that front. So you're trying to do that maybe in third down packages. Then again, that does become a little bit predictable. The thing to look for in this game to me is they just lost one of their 2 starting inside linebackers, Micah McFadden, to a long-term right foot injury. Yeah. And they lost one of their backups, Demetrius Flanagan Foles, to a calf injury. He got hurt in practice yesterday. He may miss this game too. I think we may see a lot more Abdul Carter as an off-ball linebacker in this game. You know, maybe he played 5 of his 38 defensive snaps there last game and 33 on the line. I think you could see him more off the ball, which is originally his position at Penn State before he switched to edge rusher. I was actually talking to him about that today, how he could end up being the versatile star Penn State pass rusher in Dallas. You know, that was Micah Parsons for years, but now it could be Abdul Carter's turn. His eyes kind of lit up. I think he's excited to try to show the world what he can do there.
It's Pat Leonard, Giants beat writer, here with you on The Fan. What has just stopped this organization overall? What's the big picture over the last 14 years of failure?
I think it is ownership and the front office's inability to self-evaluate. I believe that the Giants, they're the kind of team that when they draft, if they need a corner and they draft a corner, they put a green check mark next to it on their whiteboard and they say, okay, we got that fixed and figured out. And, you know, in the modern NFL, that's just it's not how you can think. You can't be married to your previous evaluations. You have to evolve. Certainly their mistake at quarterback in running Eli Manning a couple years too long set them back. And really, over the course of Joe Shane's tenure, coming off of a lot of bad personnel decisions under Dave Gettleman's leadership, Joe Shane's drafts just haven't been good enough. And so they wanted to be a draft and develop and then supplement through free agency team. But they've become the opposite. They've become a team that hasn't filled enough holes with the draft, so they've had to sign and patchwork it with free agents. And now they're in a position in year 4 of this regime where they're hoping for better results from their homegrown talent, but you can't just magically snap your fingers. John Mara and ownership, they're trying to now give more patience to this regime after firing 3 consecutive head coaches in Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, and Joe Judge, either during or after their second season. So that's part of the reason, one of the main reasons, Brian Daboll is still here in year 4. But you shouldn't also stick with something if it's not working. So if you like the process off the field, but on the field you're not winning games, you guys know sooner or later in the NFL, it's time for a change.
With the Giants putting up 6 points on opening day and watching Daniel Jones just go off for Indy, what was the reaction amongst New York fans with that debacle on week 1?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A lot of disgust, a lot of frustration, because this is now a trend of whether it's Xavier McKinney to the Packers, Julian Love to the Seahawks, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles leading the way, Daniel Jones, even Evan Engram having new life at tight end down in Jacksonville, consistently through all these years of futility that you referenced. Now, especially recently, the Giants are not only mis-evaluating their own roster, but then when they let these guys go, they're going and flourishing at these other stops. And obviously the Saquon situation was embarrassing and couldn't have gone worse, but they actually gave Daniel Jones a 4-year, $160 million contract and then reneged on it after 2 years. If he's going to star and have a second coming like Sam Darnold did in Minnesota and Indianapolis, you know, Giants fans know what that means. It instills even less trust in the decision makers that are running the show now.
Hey, Pat, it looked like to me in the secondary with the stuff with the corners with Paulson Adebo, and he was traveling with McLaurin. How do you feel that they're going to play the secondary this week? And are they going to pick either Lamb or Pickens to travel, or is it just, no, we're going to just try.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And play this thing pretty straight up.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I would guess that CD would get a Debo, and they would try to consistently keep safety help over top of both, honestly. But
sure,
definitely maybe with the double over Pickens, and then sometimes it's a Debo one-on-one with Lamb. But, you know, that's dangerous. I mean, it's not showing up on the stat sheet, but a Debo did get beaten by Terry McLaurin in one-on-one coverage with no safety help for what should have been like a 60-yard touchdown. And Jaden Daniels missed it by like 3 yards over top of McLaurin's head.
Right.
So I would say there's nothing perfect the Giants can do to stop this passing attack. They just desperately need their D-line and their pressure to get to Dak.
Sure.
Because there were a lot of holes in their zone down the field for the Commanders in that first game. Their coverage was not good enough. And it could have been a lot worse, but the Commanders dropped, I believe, 5 passes, and I believe all of them were like 10, 12, 20, 25 yards down the field, like in windows, open, wide open, some of them catch and run. So I think the Cowboys are going to score points in this game. I think it's just about whether the Giants can score points to match them. The one other thing on defense I would say, Dexter Lawrence took a lot – longer than the Giants advertised during the offseason to get into full practice shape or full practice reps from a dislocated elbow that he actually sustained in Dallas late last season. He is not back to his full former self. He's not in the same playing shape he is when he's top level. And he was very quiet in the first game against Washington. Now, they doubled him almost 70% of the time when he was on the field, but he breaks through double teams. He's a game wrecker, and if he doesn't turn into his typical self in this game, then this game's not going to be close.
Pat Leonard with us here on 105.3 The Fan, Giants beat writer. One player that I'm a little bit nervous about offensively for the Giants, we know how good Malik Nabers is. With the Cowboys corner situation, what can you tell us about Wandale Robinson?
Yeah, so he was a huge part of their game plan, both in kick return, and which is new this year, and as he's the catch-and-run guy. Now, Nabers can do that, too, and is the most dangerous no matter where you're getting him the ball. But there was a lot of focus in Week 1 against Washington about getting the ball to Wandale Robinson out the at the boundaries and having him make guys miss at the line of scrimmage. Now, he had minimal success with that. He had one or two plays that worked out largely. I would say he's a quick player but not extremely fast. So, like, he's a Jaden Reed light, you know, if you want to use like the Packers wide receiver. So they like him. They think he's a playmaker, but he is undersized. He was out of practice yesterday with an ankle. He was back today, though, so he will be playing in the game. But I think the player to look for to be more involved would be Darius Slayton down the field. The Giants spent all offseason talking about how they needed to be more explosive. And they really didn't push the ball down the field much at all against Washington. If they did, it was to Nabers, and it was pretty predictable. So I think they're going to try to push the ball down the field more to a guy like Slayton. And it'll be interesting to see if they can buy time for Wilson to do that. Their O-line was dreadful against Washington. And I actually think the key to this game is whether the Giants can run the ball on Eberflus's defense to open that up down the field. They were 15 carries for 30 yards for their running backs against Washington. So not a lot of good signs in Week 1, but they have to establish that against this Dallas front. And if they do, then maybe they take advantage of that secondary without De'Ron Bland.
Does anyone on the Giants care less about their own physical health than Cam Scataboo?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you draft a player like that because he has that in him. But then you are both excited if he injects life into the team with a battering ram run or hit, But then you also want him to be on the field for the next play too, right? It's like when they drafted Jackson Dart even, Joe Shane mentioned that he didn't love seeing him lower his head into a linebacker at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, so that's something you worry about from a health standpoint if you're the Giants, but that's also the type of player that they've been trying to add. You know, even Hudson, the left tackle, not a great player, but he's nasty. Cam Scadaboo is a nasty runner in a good way. Jackson Dart even is like that, like a physical guy. He tried to take guys on down the field in the preseason and take a hit rather than just slide down. So, yeah, Scadaboo, they want to get him more involved. They used him in the red zone in the game last week, and it didn't work out. But like you said, he did show enough physicality that you can see what Dable's trying to establish with him.
Pat, it seems like the Giants were in like a win-now mindset throughout the spring and going into the draft. I'd be curious to why they thought that way, and then, you know, what realistic success would look like for them with the 16 games left on the schedule.
Well, they're in year four of their regime, so year one, they exceeded expectations, made the playoffs, won a playoff game. Year two, because of exceeding expectations, they stopped going on the long-term rebuild track, and they said, you know, we're back, let's go, we think we can do it. And they tried to load up for 2023, and they fell on their face at 6-11. And then last year was a total disaster at 3-14. So now it's kind of like, yeah, you'd love to say we're a young rebuilding team, let's look to the future, but they have to keep at least 1 foot, if not more, in the win now pool, because this has been four seasons now of drafting and supposedly developing and building your own culture and team. I do agree with you on one thing. How can you, let's say they want to go through four or five games of Wilson before Dart comes in. Even if you thought you could win now this year, you got to put the kid in, even if it means living with more pain. At least you have the optimism, if he looks good, of the future. But if you put all your eggs in the basket of our team this year is good and they continue to play the way they did Sunday, then everybody gets fired. But that's what I think is I just think they're at a point now. John Mara, the owner, said his patience is running thin. He does seem to have more patience with the general manager, Joe Shane, than he does with Brian Daboll. So I would say both seats are hot, but the coaches is hotter. How do they fare the rest of the season? They got the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football in their home opener in week three, the Chargers and Justin Herbert, who looked fabulous in week one and week four. And then after going to the Saints in week five, they've got two meetings with the Eagles and the Broncos. So really, if they don't just suddenly turn into a different team, this is going to be a really ugly season, and they're going to be in the coaching and maybe GM carousel at the end of the year.
Hey, Pat, real quick on this, though. You're probably looking at a situation where is the head coach interested in developing a quarterback for somebody else?
That's a great point. And that's – so last year when they lost their first two games, I caught some heat on social media for asking Daboll about his job security at 0-2.
Right.
And the reason I asked that question then, though, was because I had information that if they slid to 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, he could legit just get fired right then and there. And he won two of those first five games against Cleveland and Seattle. And even though they finished 3-14, it stemmed the tide. It bought him enough time to get to this season. This year, the question of Dart, it makes the water murky about when Daboll actually loses his job if it continues to go this way. Because to your point, it's like, how does the young quarterback factor into this? Does Daboll buy more time by waiting to put the kid in and then get to 2026 regardless of the record because Dart looks good late in a lost season?
Right.
Or does he need Dart to come in early enough before you're 0-6 or 0-5 or whatever to buy you the time down the stretch of this season and into 26? I don't even know if Daboll knows the answer to that. What I do know is that he has accelerated, because Dart has accepted and handled it well, the process of getting him close to the field. You guys remember Eli Manning, Daniel Jones, 2019. You know, Jones goes in week one in garbage time in Dallas and takes over for Eli a couple weeks later. I think it's going to look very similar here with Wilson and Dart.
You can watch Pat Leonard on YouTube, the Talkin' Ball podcast. Read him in the New York Daily News. Really good stuff, man. Thank you so much for it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes, Pat Leonard, talking Giants with us here in the GBAC Nation. Kickoff Sunday at noon. We're in bottom five in Toronto. The Blue Jays lead the Astros 4-0. So Rangers halfway to making up a half game here on their day off of Houston. Currently 2.5 up in the West, 1.5 back in the wild card. The Rangers are of the Mariners. Okay, we got the C-note coming up next here, the Cowboys news of the evening. We'll reset why the Cowboys did not sign Jadeveon Clowney and give you the rest of the day in Cowboys news coming up next year. It's the GBAC Nation, the fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.